Welcome to the Speak Life broadcast, brought to you by the congregation at New Life Community United Holy Church, located in Pie Corner, St. Lucie, in Barbados, where the senior pastor is Elder Rico Griffith. We invite you to join us for the next few moments as we share with you from the Word of God. Today's speaker is Minister Karen Griffith.
Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And the last verse is, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. And may God add blessing to his word this morning. This morning, I have topic to share with you, and that topic is My Anchor Holds. Paul is one of those popular names in the Bible to which many Christians speak about so often across the world. We know Paul had great endurance. This same Paul, he was in prison, he was beaten, he was threatened, he was arrested, he was ignored. Paul went through a lot. But though he went through a lot, he did have many victories as well. So when we peruse this chapter, we can see that the Apostle Paul started out with some reluctance. If we were to go back to verse 1 and come through, we would see that he has some reluctance where he indicated that the boasting will do no good, but his intention was still to proceed. He reluctantly tells about visions and revelations from the Lord. But I just want to zero in on the meat for today, which is verse 7 to 10 that we just read. Even though I have received such a wonderful revelation from God, so to keep me from being proud, I was given a thorn in my flesh, a messenger from Satan to torment me and to keep me from becoming proud. So this thorn was given to Paul to prevent him from being exalted above measure. So lest pride become a part of Paul, he was given this thorn of flesh. And Paul recounts his experience of being caught up in the third heaven. And there he experienced things that he could not even put into words. And Paul started to become proud because of these experiences. So God used a messenger of Satan to humble him. And straightway I thought of us as human beings. When we have it all together and we achieve all we wanted to, we become proud. We as human beings, we allow humility to become a thing of the past when we achieve all that we want to achieve. And I'm sure that many of us made statements in time past and say, if I achieve such and such, Or if I was to get such and such by a particular time, nobody can talk to me. Or if I could be rich, I wouldn't deal with this set of people, or I wouldn't deal with that set of people. And I'm sure all of us at some point in time, whether we were joking or not, made statements like that. So in this passage of scripture, Paul reveals the real reason for telling of his heavenly vision, not to glorify himself, but to explain this thorn of flesh. So in this verse, he says, there was given to me, and it would come over to me as though he viewed this trial as a gift. He could have said, I suffered, or I was inflicted with this thorn in my flesh, but he said, there was given to me. What was this thorn in the flesh? When we think of a thorn, in this case, it refers to great annoyance or trouble in someone's life, something that causes problems. So a thorn in the flesh was given to him, a messenger of Satan, to buffet him. So in a strange way, the thorn was given, yes, allowed by God, but it was also a messenger of Satan. So God gave Satan permission. So Satan must have been so glad or so honored for such an opportunity, but God had a purpose in it. And he allowed Satan to successfully keep Paul from being exalted above measure. So to make things understandable, Satan tried his best, as we would say, to unfair Paul. And Paul felt like he was beaten black and blue by this messenger of Satan. And one might say, Paul, but this is the man of God. He should be shielded from all things. But this was not the case. And it's how we look around at people. And we always see a happy and a smiling face. And to you, they never seem to worry about anything. And sometimes people think of their own circumstances and they say in their heart, I wish I was this person, and I wish I was that person, or I wish I had what they had, because I'm looking at this particular person and it doesn't look to me like they have problems. He doesn't look like he's taking on what I'm taking on, or she doesn't look like she's taking on like what I'm taking on. But perhaps you may live long enough to know that most of the time, the radiant and the happy faces hide great pain and pressure. And oftentimes, the man who is so blessed of God is so much buffeted by the devil. So I could imagine if Paul went to a counselor, and this is a non-biblical counselor, they would have a lot to tell him. They would seek to find out about his history and go back in time, and they would try to find out where along the lines Paul went wrong. And then they would use all that they were taught in school to put Paul back on track, failing to recognize that this had nothing to do with Paul's past or when he was 7 years old. It had nothing to do with that, but this was a test. And in verse 8, it states that Paul besought the Lord 3 times. So he went to God 3 times. He didn't just go to God like, God, you know, he pleaded with the Lord 3 times. And to plead is to want something desperately. And he wasn't pleading because he felt like pleading. Nobody feels like pleading, unnecessarily so. He pleaded because he was being faced with a concern, something that bothered him greatly, and he just needed that relief. So this was passionate prayer. And he just wanted this thing to be taken away from him. Let it depart from me. And when he suffered, his first instinct was to ask God to take away this suffering. It is like when we are faced with certain battles, certain trials, testings, we are so ready for God to relieve us from what is bothering us. But when Paul passionately prayed and he recognized that his prayer was not being answered, I'm sure that it must have concerned Paul. If it was us, we would be concerned. Because if there is one thing that can floor us, is when you are in desperate need of help and it would appear that God is not answering or responding at all to us. And you're there saying, you say, God, you know, I am here suffering physically. And to top it off, it feels like you're not even answering me. So now I am bothered spiritually, physically, and probably mentally as well. So that sounds like even added burden. So we don't have enough information to know what exactly this thorn was. But whatever it was, it caused continuous problems. And it was something that greatly annoyed Paul. So for many years, many have speculated as to what exactly it was that Paul was experiencing, but we really do not know exactly. But what I love about this story is that Paul asked the Lord to remove this 3 times. But God replied, "My grace is sufficient for you." And like us, Paul prayed for things that didn't work out the way he wanted. But we can use Paul's life as an example of how he trusted God. In verse 9, we see that Paul receives this word from God, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." In other words, all you need is grace. My power works best in weakness. If there is not a struggle, and we know this, if there's not a struggle, you can't prove me, you can't prove God. If there's no trial, you can't prove God. If there's no test, you can't prove God. Yes, it is hard, but God will give you enough to sustain you and to help you go through it. And it goes on, "So now I am glad to boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ can work through me." So we see the power of Christ when change and transformation comes about. There are some of us that people see on the sidelines watching and probably not expecting that, like if we are in church, we will last very long, or whatever we are doing, that we will last very long. But only to recognize that your consistency and see that transformation that God has made in your life. And from that, they can determine that it can only be by the power of God. So God had this response for Paul. The answer was not what Paul initially hoped for, but God had this response for Paul. And if we think of ourselves, we often close our ear to things that we do not want to hear. It is like when you go to someone for advice, and though you are there at their mercy of their advice, I mean, you still want to know that the person is saying something that you want to hear. So the ear is pricked, and the ears are listening to what they want to hear. And when you hear something else, it is how you take it. You can either become disappointed, or you can take the genuine advice from the person, which is good for you, and which will help you in the problem that you're faced with. So here God reminded Paul that his grace is sufficient for him. So instead of removing the thorn from Paul's life, God gave him and would keep him in his grace. You see, this grace that God gave to Paul, it was sufficient to keep him, to meet his every need. And you can imagine here, Paul is desperate to relieve this burden from himself, and then to hear God say, "My grace is sufficient for you." And it is like when we come up against a rock, when we get to that hard place, and we are trying, and we are trying, and we are trying, and we recognize that we are insufficient, and we are in need of the grace of God to keep going. So Paul, in this scenario, he really had to believe, you know what? God's grace is sufficient for me. And when we receive his grace, we receive that favor. And that favor is unmerited. That grace, that means that he loves us, and he cares, and he gives us his favor.
Thank you for allowing us into your space today. It is our prayer that your life has been touched and impacted in a positive way as you took the time to be engaged with us. To learn more about our ministry, you may visit our YouTube channel or our social media pages on Instagram or Facebook. Simply search, "We Are New Life CC," all one word. If you do not have a church family to call your own, you can feel free to worship with us any Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. We are located in Pike Corner, St. Lucie, at the corner of Little Bay and Cove Bay. New Life Community United Holy Church is the place for you, fostering community one family at a time. We look forward to welcoming you. Just